Welcome to CPM Sessions, a media outreach of Christ Powered Ministries. For more information, please visit cpmlife.org. Now let's join CPM's president, Daryl Ryden, for today's session.
Hey, welcome to CPM Sessions. I'm Daryl. Happy New Year. It's 2024. Wow. I thought the Jetsons said we'd be flying around little spaceship cars by now, so I'm a little disappointed with that, but anyway, let me say thank you before we get into this today with the New Age movement. I want to thank our CPM partners for supporting this ministry. You know, I greatly appreciate your help and your concern as we reach children and students and families in seven countries now. What a blessing to have you stand with us as we hold out the word of life and, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that we encounter. So, you know, and I'm just glad you're with us for this four-part series of the New Age movement and how American society and church has been affected by the New Age worldview. I mean, there's so much to cover that I actually have to make a four-part series out of this. Because the New Age movement has inserted itself into pretty much every part of our society, and many of our American church denominations are picking up on a lot of this over the past 40 and 50 years. So let's take a look at this emerging occult system. And let me say this, that the New Age groups are quite eclectic. I mean, they draw from several different sources. But one of the more prominent unifying themes of the New Age movement is their experiences, which they say bind them together, that absolute truth is replaced by subjective experience. You'll hear that a lot in these groups. It's about experience, not doctrine, not teaching. It's looking inside, you know, looking to the spirit world, all this type of thing. And what they say is that all is relative and it's interpreted by each individual. So the term New Age, it's an informal term which teaches that this earth is on the verge of an evolutionary transition from the Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age and a new spirituality. And with it comes harmony of all things. They say, well, this is what all the religions throughout history have taught, this golden age that is coming. Well, and they say that those who participate will have a higher consciousness. This is going to be a revolution, and it will transition people from Homo sapiens to Homo noeticus, and then before you know it, they will be Homo Christos. So this is a spiritual evolution to them, they say, where man discovers that he himself is God. And of course, they look at God, the New Age adherents, they will describe God and they'll say that that's just an impersonal life force, because really, if you'll see inside yourself, you are the God or the goddess. So, and you create, man creates their own reality. It's also interesting, you know, I live on the east end of the United States. I'm in Tennessee, but just right down the road from us, right across the mountains there is Asheville, North Carolina. And that is actually known on this end of the world as the New Age capital of the East. So a lot of stuff going on, even on this side of the world. It's not just California. So anyway, their slogan, the New Age movement, as they were starting to gain traction, they would say, this is a consciousness whose time has come. So anyway, let's just look at this. There's probably, the best I can research right now in this nation, there's probably 7 million or so devout participants. But of course, there's millions more worldwide. Certainly, there are millions in Europe. This is very popular mindset in Europe. So New Age is a syncretistic joining of Neo-Hinduism. Like I just said, you know, everything's relative. Look inside yourself. Many things are just an illusion. You just got to get to understanding that you are God. So it's basically taking that Hinduistic mindset and then adding it to liberal Christianity that really doesn't even believe that Jesus raised from the dead or anything like that. It's basically just Christianity in form only. And then you add in a bunch of Eastern mystery religions. And then it's mixed into this weird little postmodern religious stew that we call the New Age movement. And so, of course, there are so many cults that would fit into this definition as well. The New Age system can be traced to the ancient post-flood kingdom of Babylon. Now, this was under Nimrod's reign, and you can check this out in Genesis chapter 11. Read that sometime. Nimrod, his desire was for his kingdom to, you know, for his people to become one, you know, to be unified, to be one, but he wanted that done without God, without the Creator. So all occult systems, you know, when we look through history over, basically we look at the flood, this post-flood Babel confusion, you know, when God said, I'm going to take these people and separate them through language. Now they're not going to speak the same language. So that was approximately 4,500 years ago, and that began that scattering of these people groups throughout the world. So at that point, they began to communicate with symbols that go beyond the limitations of human language. And there are different levels of meaning to those symbols according to how enlightened a person is within these various occultic structures. And that's why cults and false religions will have rituals. They're going to have levels of service, you know, whatever, that a member must perform to advance to the next stage of enlightenment or to unveil some secret truth behind the symbols and the organization itself. For example, the average person walking around the local mall, they're going to see a peace sign on someone's tie-dye t-shirt, and they're going to think of 1970s music groups and peace rallies and hippie stuff. But those that are in low-level occultism, they're going to see it as a powerful crow's foot for rituals. And those that go even deeper into the occult, into the darker arts, they're going to see it as the broken cross that declares that Jesus Christ's crucifixion, that his blood is powerless, and that Satan is the true light bearer of the world, not Jesus Christ. So to most people, it's just this cute little symbol that promotes love and peace, but that is far from the truth. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." In other words, why be surprised that the devil will deceive people? Why are you surprised that he appears to be harmless, or he appears to be good and cool and engaging? Like using little symbols, oh, look how cool this is, and look at my earrings, look at my new necklace, look at this upside-down cross, look how cool I am. Of course Satan's going to do that. And speaking of Babel and Babylon, in Revelation chapter 18, we see the end of all false religion, which is identified as religious Babylon. Just read that in Revelation chapter 18. God destroys all false religions. He will destroy the occult. The occult just means to be hidden. And all of this he will do at the end of the tribulation period. So there is an expiration date on all false religions. And that's why we've got to preach the gospel. That's why we need to tell people that Jesus loves them. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. If you're in one of these cult systems today, if you're a part of the occult, if you are a part of the New Age movement, then come to Christ. He loves you, but he says you must come through his blood and his sacrifice of his cross. That you are not God, but he is, and he's made a way for you to live eternally. They're going to often say that, hey, I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in that stuff. I would never worship him. That's what, you know, my occult belief, that's not what I believe in. But you got to understand that, you know, the Bible reveals that the devil is the false light of worldly knowledge and godless enlightenment. And that is what empowers all of these false religions and worldly philosophies. Satan is the deceiver that holds out false hope to those who will turn away from the truth and the salvation of Christ. It doesn't matter what the system is that you believe in. If it's outside of Jesus Christ, of the Bible, then it's leading you to an eternity without God. So keep in mind, New Age is Hinduism in disguise. That'd be the simplest way to look at it. And check out episode 9 for more details on Hinduism. That system believes that we have no real self, just like we were talking about. All is an illusion, that humans and all things are divine. Man can attain godhood. So the New Age movement is basically a lightweight form of Hinduism, and it's watered down just to make it easier to embrace by Americans and Europeans. There is no single human founder of this system, although there's a lot of people, they're going to say, well, no, we believe that that Teilhard de Chardin, who, and that guy, he was born in 1881, I believe. He died in 1955. Now, he was an apostate French Catholic priest. He was part of the Jesuits, and he was also a very devout Darwinist. So here is de Chardin, and he taught that man is evolving spiritually to a race of supermen, that we at some point would become like Christ until we finally reach the ultimate goal, and he called that the Omega Point, where we are gods. So the Omega Point theory, and I remember reading this back in the 1970s. Yeah, that's how old I am. But anyway, the Omega Point theory, and even that title has been used in a bunch of movies and books since the 1970s. But the idea that universal unification will happen in a moment of universal cosmic enlightenment. That's the whole thing. And what is that enlightenment? We will know that we are gods. Okay, de Chardin, he wrote in his book, Christianity and Evolution, he said, and I quote, a religion of the future, definable as a religion of evolution, cannot fail to appear before long. A new mysticism, the germ of which, as it happens when anything is born, must be recognizable somewhere in our environment here and now, end quote. Okay, Chardin, he was instrumental, basically before he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church, but he was instrumental in that time there of bringing the theory of evolution into acceptance in the theological framework of the Roman Catholic Church. And because he, in his way, was developing this evolutionary model for man evolving into gods. So the New Age movement is both, it's religious and it's a social movement. Western culture has currently experienced a spiritual and sociological shift. It's a religious worldview that is hostile to Christianity, you know, Orthodox Christianity, but has the ability to synthesize mystical religions and world religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Spiritism. It is the theosophy that has been practiced, that has been hoped for, this hope by the occultists for centuries. And it's the only religion that can't be mixed into its unity, according to them, is Orthodox Christianity. Everything is fair game. Just bring it on. We'll put you into our mix. Okay, Deschardin, from that same book, and I quote, he says, "A general convergence of religions upon a universal Christ who fundamentally satisfies them all. That seems to me the only possible conversion of the world and the only form in which a religion of the future can be conceived," end quote. So here he is, Deschardin is just saying, look, the only thing I can see because of technology and everything that's going on, and as we're enlightened by science and all this stuff, the only thing that I can see is that every religion will come into one thing. There will be a world religion. And he says the only thing that can't work with that is fundamental, orthodox, you know, historical, biblical Christianity. So he, along with other New Age leaders now and in the past, they believe that the universal Christ consciousness, that all religions becoming one, is the only hope for mankind. And just for reference, this movement has influenced countless churches. I call them New Christianity churches. And they come in all shapes, sizes, denominations that embrace New Age philosophy and rituals. The obvious sign, you say, okay, Daryl, what's up? You know, how do I even know that I'm in one of these churches? Well, the obvious sign that you're in one of these churches will be the denial of the atoning work of Jesus' blood sacrifice on the cross. And they'll deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, they may also embrace stuff like what they call centering prayer, which is basically Eastern meditation, along with they're certainly probably going to be open to having yoga, you know, as a part of your faith journey, you know, extra revelatory experiences, you know, they're really into that, you know, stuff like that. So, for example, an extra revelatory pronouncement, like those who write sermons, books, devotionals, saying that Jesus spoke his word directly through them. Okay, now you better watch that. I mean, these are people like Sarah Young. She has one of the biggest selling books in Christian history, okay? But she is one of these people. Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Ken Hagen, Oral Roberts. I mean, this goes way back. I mean, actually, a bunch of the neo-Pentecostal and charismatic leaders today, they all believe that God is speaking a new word to them, that what they say is as important as what the written word of God has said for centuries. So, you know, these are these supposed modern day mystics within the church that, of course, they always mix truth and error. And of course, any church associated with the emergent church movement will be deeply influenced by New Age philosophies. So New Age is comprised of thousands of groups and individuals who are in the workplace, school, government, sociology, psychology, medicine, ecology, science, business. I mean, everywhere. And they're bringing their influence to affect almost every area of our culture. And there's no central organization or headquarters. Like I said, it's this leaderless thing. But it's kind of like, they say it's like this. They say it's like spokes in a wheel that are working together toward the same goal. So New Age groups have countless publications, websites, social media platforms. I mean, it's just lots of stuff going on. When we look at New Age thinking, you know, how did it really originate, like in its form today in the 20th and 21st century? Well, we can trace this directly to Helena Blavatsky in the 19th century. And then Elise Bailey, who was very much influenced by Blavatsky in the 20th century. So along with all these others involved in what is called theosophy, Theosophia, you know, from the Greek theo meaning God and sophia meaning wisdom. It's a religious philosophy that says God, whose essence pervades the universe as an absolute reality, That essence can only be known through mystical experiences. There we go again. It's experience, experience. And it's characterized by esoteric doctrine. And esoteric, it just means that, oh, this can only be understood by just a few people with special knowledge and occult experiences. So mysticism and Gnosticism are a pursuit of that esoteric or hidden meaning behind the literal words of the Torah, the literal words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. This is the essence of Kabbalah. This is the essence of Gnosticism and mysticism, is to discover these hidden meanings, to engage oneself into an experience of the divine through various methods and rituals and symbols and allegories and icons. So again, the New Age movement is occultic. It stems from a mixture of the ancient mystery religions and heretical views of Christianity. It's a part of the Antichrist spirit that John spoke about in 1 John chapter 4. And please read that in context when you have time. As Christians, we are to always be discerning between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I mean, in everyday life. Now, New Age author, this guy, his name is Benjamin Krim. His book, the title is The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And I'll quote from his book here. He says, "The forces of evil are part of God. They are not separate from God. Everything is God. You are God. I am God. This microphone is God. This table is God. All is God." End quote. Of course, he was giving a speech at that time that was translated into this book. So this is a typical view of New Age leaders. It's part Hinduism again. It's part Christianity, but it makes them fully occultic and heretical. So when we talk about belief systems that are occultic, when we talk about all this esoteric stuff, you know, in its structure, it means most will follow a certain formula. For example, they may engage in the invocation of spirits using mediums or channeling spirits, you know, somebody who says, "I'm channeling this spirit." And that spirit will usually bring, you know, some type of knowledge to the group, along with seances, fortune telling. Ouija boards are huge, you know, in this, because for decades, the Ouija board has been used to bring occult beginners into the fold. I mean, it's a powerful occult tool, which is sold in any toy store for kids. And then you'll see old school palm reading, the conjuring of spells. They also place divinity and great power on the elements of earth, wind, fire, and water. I mean, these people are big on the elements, much like those who are into witchcraft and Wicca. They will say that you must be initiated by taking secret vows or speaking incantations as you become part of a secret society or gathering. Okay, so like a witch's coven, a Masonic lodge, even college fraternities, you know, Greek society, blah, 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 all that stuff, they all use this formula. You are then taught secret doctrines and given secret knowledge, which they say will lead to enlightenment. So this, of course, can lead to what is called third eye meditation, and a lot of that is done through the process of yoga. Eastern meditation and yoga are common in these groups. And for clarity, Eastern meditation says to empty your mind. Just look inside yourself for knowledge. And which is opposed to biblical meditation, where we are to look to Christ. We are to look outside of ourselves. We are to look up to Jesus Christ and fill our minds with His Word. Also through this, we see the angel worship explosion of the past few decades. This has been fueled by the New Age movement as well. All the while this is going on, it's just about oppressing the truth of Jesus Christ and his word, as we see in Romans 1. So again, go to Romans 1 if you really want to see what's happening in the world. It kind of clears up a lot of things. Because all false religions deny Jesus, the biblical Christ, and they stand opposed to him who has risen from the dead. Because these groups are covered in darkness and rituals and deception and false hope. But you see, Jesus, again, he is the one who is in full view. He's not hiding. And anyone can come to the true Christ, because that ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no secrets with Jesus. There's no elitist group to be a part of, because he's the light of the world. He is not hidden, and neither is his word that sets us free. And he offers eternal life to anyone who will call on his name for the forgiveness of their sin. You see, the cults and the New Age systems that are awash in Luciferian worship and doctrines, they offer eternal death, even though it's disguised as progressive and enlightened, and it's this humanitarian drivel. I mean, you can meditate and look inside yourself until the cows come home, but it is only through the blood of Christ that deals with the real problem all of us have, and that is the sin and rebellion problem of Jeremiah 17:9, which says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I mean, it's only Jesus' atonement on the cross that can save us, that can cleanse us from our sin, and that can set us free eternally. Okay, so New Age author Marilyn Ferguson's book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, she wrote that, well, it was published in 1987. And I'll quote from her book. She says, "A leaderless but powerful network is working to bring about radical change in the United States. Its members have broken with certain key elements of Western thought. This network is the Aquarian Conspiracy. Broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. The Aquarian conspirators range across all levels of income and education, from the humblest to the highest," end quote. So here, Ferguson, she calls these New Agers this legion of conspirators. She says they are school teachers. They are pastors, professors, medical professionals, lawyers. She says we've got them from the city council to the White House staff. And she's saying that virtually in every area of policy making, these influencers are on those boards. And so, of course, we already see they've been very successful in their goal of undermining and redefining biblical foundations and presuppositional thought in the past 40 years. And what is happening that's obvious is that they have moved our nation very much to embrace an Eastern mysticism mindset. So one of the sayings of the occult is, "We are hiding in plain sight," as in, hey, we're sitting in church with you. We're right there at work with you. We are right in your school system. We are your local government. And you know, what I see in the past decade, as the influence of the true church weakens in the West, I just don't think the occult cares to hide anymore. I think that's over. I think they're now so bold and they're gaining so much power to further this New Age agenda, that agenda of Elise Bailey, and we'll be talking more about her as we go into these sessions on New Age. that they have been very, very quick and efficient in this age of social media. So this movement expresses itself in a widely divergent form, from the blatantly obvious to the subtle. For example, changing the name from psychics to intuition consultants. Psychic energy is now called therapeutic touch. Astrology charts are used by businesses now to predict when it's good or bad to make moves in their companies. These company leaders are looking to the stars and the alignment of planets to guide them. But those who come in, they call themselves astro consultators. So titles and practices are constantly being renamed. For example, just a silly little example here, but it's the saying good vibrations. That began in the 1960s hippie movement, right? It actually stems from that Hindu idea that the seven chakras in the spinal column emit certain vibrations. And I'm sure most people are familiar with the Beach Boys and their hit song by that name. One of the lines was, "I'm picking up good vibrations." Okay, that was written by Brian Wilson in 1966. And people, they still say stuff like that. I mean, every day, people are saying stuff like, "Man, I get good vibes from her. Oh, she's nice." Or, "That church I visited today, it had good vibes." Well, this idea of psychic energy is from Hindu yoga indoctrination. The Beach Boys were deeply influenced by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He was a hugely popular Hindu cult leader known as the Beatles' spiritual advisor. So the Beach Boys went on tour with Maharishi in 1968, but it fell apart within 3 days because the people that were attending those concerts just thought it was weird, And anyway, he influenced the Rolling Stones and many other music groups of that time, and he was teaching them his transcendental meditation religion in the late 60s and 70s. So the New Age movement, this is where it began to explode, was at that time of Woodstock and beyond. John Lennon's song, "Across the Universe," it was written to worship his ascended master. See, he was already channeling spirits. And he said he had an ascended master with a name, and he would help him write songs and all this type of thing. And George Harrison, who was deeply involved with Hare Krishna, that's what his song, "My Sweet Lord," he wrote that for his guru. And you can even hear it at the end of the song. He says Hare Krishna. I remember growing up, and youth groups, when they started doing, praise and worship stuff, they would actually sing this song as if it was written for Jesus Christ, but it wasn't. It was written for a Hindu guru. So this New Age tie to the music business has been going on for decades. It's part of what Ferguson and Elise Bailey and all this said. We have these people that are a part of this that you don't even realize. Said, "And we're going to take over society, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it from music to education to art to business, whatever." So the most central and commonly shared belief among New Agers are various conglomerations of this Gnosticism and occultism. And they say we mainly learn spirituality again by what? Experience. So New Age author, and I've already talked about Marilyn Ferguson, but again, in that book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, and I quote, she says, "The radical center of spiritual experience seems to be knowing without doctrine. The teacher does not impart knowledge, but technique. This is the transmission of knowledge by direct experience. Doctrine, on the other hand, is secondhand knowledge. A danger. Do not get entangled in any teaching. End quote. So, actually what she's saying is to not get entangled. When she says, hey, don't get entangled with any teaching, she's actually saying, do not listen to Bible teachers or read the Bible and get hung up on that doctrine stuff. Let your experiences bring wisdom. Trust your feelings and your inner self. Bible doctrine is dangerous. Now, Jesus, he said, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, and I quote, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, Jesus then states, he goes on, through the word of God here, Jesus then states that those who aren't going to build their lives on his doctrine will find that their home will be destroyed and that great will be its fall. So the issue before us is that if you're part of the New Age movement, you want to interpret experience, but the way that we must do that, according to Jesus, is we need to interpret our experiences and our emotions, our feelings, along with the standard of truth, which is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the test. The Bible is the standard of all truth. So false teaching, these cults, humanism, will always combine the sensual with their worldview. For example, why is witchcraft so popular today and in the past? Because it says sexual expression should be unbridled and unlimited. But the Word of God says we should flee fornication and adultery, that sexual sin. Now, that's two very different views of the body and sexual standards. You know, I've told students for many years, the vast majority of people, they don't have an intellectual problem with Christianity. They have a flesh problem. It's simply, hey, I want to do whatever I want to do with my body. You know, the first law of Satanism and witchcraft, and now the New Age has co-opted it, is do what thou will. To them, all things are permissible. There can be no sexual boundaries for society. So biblically, we see the New Age church system heading to a one world religion. That's really what is happening here. And this has been prophesied in the Word of God. This one world church, you know, what I've been calling New Christianity and all that, but it's going to be everything. This one world church will be led by the false prophet for the purpose of global worship of the Antichrist. And just read Revelation chapter 13 through chapter 20 for context. Now, we're just going to stop right here. I mean, we got three more sessions of this to go, and it's going to get deep. But I'm just so glad that you're with us today. And we're going to pick up the New Age Movement Part 2 in a few weeks. But if you're seeking the truth, you're seeking hope for your life, please open the Bible. Read the book of John. That's a good place to start to see the real Jesus revealed in Holy Scripture. He loves you. And when you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, He will forgive you. No matter what you've done, He'll wash away your sin. He'll make you a new creation. You'll be free. You'll be clean. You'll be born again. Trust Jesus with everything. Hey, we'll see you next time. CPM Sessions.
So my friend looked out my window and saw my mother. I saw my sister, saw my brother.